Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dirty Thunder Radio Club. My name is Pat Doherty, and with me, as always, is the one and only, the Mr.
Alfie Cannock.
How you doing, Alfie?
I'm doing well. You didn't insult me like I do to you.
I know, because I'm a nice guy. Usually, I'll explain for our guest who is sitting there very patiently that Alfie Cannock usually insults me every single start of a podcast. But I'm not that kind of guy.
People love it. That's why they listen. They listen for the big insults.
We have a lot of sadists listening to this. And hello again. Welcome to another episode.
Beautiful. Dirty Thunder Radio Club. Get it into you.
What do we do? Do you want to do the Dirty Thunder recap?
I would love. It's my turn to do the Dirty Thunder recap.
It's your time.
You've done it for the last 19 episodes.
I certainly have.
And now it's my turn.
Hit it, baby.
So Coogee. Let's start with Coogee on Monday night. That was an absolute belter. Packed the rafters.
That was.
MC'd by Facebook's Billy Darcy.
That's right.
I think he's up to 6,000 likes or something crazy like that.
6,000 likes on his FB.
Sharing his Twitter posts as well on there. He's absolutely crushing it. He had an amazing night. But there was a heckler, wasn't there, Pat?
There was.
He got hit with a big old heckle.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll tell the
story, yeah.
So Billy, opening the second half of the comedy show, he spoke to this young lady and he goes, "Oh, mate, like, you look like you've been traumatized. What's wrong?" And she goes, "I just watched the first half of that comedy show."
Whoa.
It was the best heckle I've ever heard in my life.
They're completely inaccurate because the first half would have been amazing.
But, well, it was a lot of Melbourne-based comedians, so it wasn't good.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I understand. Yeah. You know what they're like. And then, so what we should talk about is last night, Dirty Thunder, comedy night, Hemingway's Manly.
That was fantastic.
That was insane. Bit of a showcase up there. Uh-huh. I have a sore back. Now, normally when I say I have a sore back, it's from carrying you, but I have a sore back from ferrying extra chairs upstairs.
Yeah, it was packed, man. What do you reckon? Like 60 people in there?
Yeah, at least. And that's like, and that might not sound a lot to you people, but you try cramming 60 people into that space.
Into a space that's designated for 45.
Yeah, we had to turn people away. We have to start charging more money.
Yeah.
So we were hosting that, Pat and Alfie.
That's right.
You crushed like nothing else. It was ridiculous. I barely got a word in and there was no point. So I just kind of stood there looking good.
Yeah, which, I mean, you didn't do so great at. You tried your best, though, and that's all that you can really ask for.
That's what we're about.
Yeah,
here.
But it was a fantastic night. So that's at Hemingway's every Wednesday. It's $5.
Yes, and on Sunday we'll be doing the Pat Doherty late night show at the same venue.
That's right.
It went off last time. It's going to be great this time. We've got some amazing comics booked, amazing guests.
We've got the two-for-ones.
Two-for-ones, our favorite house band. They'll be jamming up front.
Talking music, let's introduce our guest.
Do it.
Let's do it,
Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got this gentleman right here. You know him and you love him. He's the vocalist, trumpeter, and guitarist of Sydney-based Southern Beaches psychedelic sun pop band, the Carver Kings. Please welcome him to the podcast. It's Tommy Gunn Smithson, baby.
Tom Smithson,
hey guys,
everybody.
Thanks for having
welcome
me.
On board.
You're very welcome. Thank you for coming, man.
What's happened? So it says here, according to my notes, that you're part. So this is a hard hitting interview that I do. You know, you're not getting lob softballs like Pat does. Says here you're part of a band called the Carver Kings.
Yes.
Where did you grow up?
In Cronulla.
In Cronulla.
Oh, all around
no,
Cronulla
dear.
Area.
We just lost a lot of listeners. Shy boy alert.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what this is now. This is going to be a roasting session. Oh, shit.
We're never going to do that. I'm just playing around.
You're welcome to the den, baby. You're in the middle of the hurricane.
Yeah, let's do this. Yeah.
So how long have you been doing music now? What are you...
So I've been playing guitar since I was six and started the band about 5 years ago with my brother. So my brother Chris and I. And another guy from school called Dan. And we've been together for about, 5 years now. And that's pretty much since we've been playing for like, how long's that? Since I was six, so.
Jesus. Nearly, so you and your brother were playing together and then you got Dan on board. And then how long did it take to get Bran and Alex in the game?
Bran's been around for about 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, and Alex is my girlfriend. She's been in the band for a year, so she came on tour with us in Europe for the first time this year as well. So,
Which came first? This is where you two can relate, actually, because Alfie's...
very different.
Alfie's girlfriend is his housemate, you know what I mean? So, I'm always curious which happened first. Was it... Alfie's girlfriend, his girlfriend first or his housemate first?
Well, she was housemate.
She was the housemate
first,
and then the girlfriend, right? So, with yourself, was Alex in the band and then became your girlfriend, or was your girlfriend?
No, it was the opposite way around. But Alex and I met. I actually went to uni with Alex like 3 years ago, and we met at uni. And Alex asked me to play in her band, like to play trumpet in her band. So that's how we kind of got together.
Dude, that's
sort of.
Man, she
saw
that's
a strong opening.
That Louis Armstrong, you know, trumpet vibe. She saw that. Yeah, she's all about that.
So he built it from that.
Oh, man.
So does that cause any dramas? Yeah, I know you can't talk out of school. You're okay, but, oh, being in a band. Ooh, ex-nay on the All right. He's giving us let's move on.
No, it's actually really good. Yeah. It's a really good relationship.
Dude, it would be the best because, you know, you just get to, you have just traveled around all of Europe and stuff like that. But let's talk about your brother more. So you and Chris, your brothers, what are the pros and cons of playing music with your sibling?
Chris and I are really close. I mean, we just have normal like brother fights and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's just the usual shit.
Yeah, so wrestling during the ad breaks of the show Hercules.
Exactly. We've definitely done that before.
Yeah, nice.
Do you have that thing, like, I'm sort of thinking, like, do you have the similar musical sort of brain, you know? Like, if you're thinking one thing, he's quite often thinking the same thing, is that?
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny. Chris and I both see music in colours. So when we listen to music, we can kind of...
Oh, synesthesia.
Yeah, yeah. We can kind of talk to each other about... Oh, like this, like we never really knew this for a long time. And then one day I was like, oh, I just kind of think of like, it's like a greeny kind of color. And then we both agreed. And then now when we talk about music together, like we can kind of, we don't always talk about it, but we can.
For the
like,
record, I'm making the joint smoking signal with my fingers right now, just so everyone knows.
Definitely
I don't know when it happened, but like we're both blazed.
I was like, man. Do you ever like smelt the color orange?
What's it called? Sorry,
synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia. Yeah, I've heard of it. It's a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. I believed him.
It's a real thing.
Of course.
No, it's a real thing, Pat.
Why would he be lying about that?
He's not lying. It's a real thing.
I didn't believe him when he said that word. I didn't believe him.
Just trying to sound like synesthesia.
Yeah, yeah. He always does it. You know, like
this dude. I saw this dude on. I was watching old Letterman clips. David Letterman, you know, a big fan of ours. And he had this dude on as like a savant that had memorized like pi to 1,000 decimals or something. And he apparently has synesthesia. And he said part of the reason he's able to do that like crazy memorization stuff is he's like seeing things on the sounds of the numbers in colors and stuff like that. And it's that he has way more points of reference to memorize stuff.
Yeah, right. Mm. That's crazy. How does that help with making music? It just makes it
easier. Just impresses chicks like Alex.
It's just something to say. Sometimes, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know when it does, but we definitely can relate to each other.
Are there any bands that, you know, when you hear them, you see a turd brown? Because you want to name any? Do you want to name any?
Anyone on the Sydney scene?
All right. I had to edit that out.
That's good.
I can't wait till I learn how to edit things out, Pat.
Yeah, exactly right. No, that was sharp, brother. Look, he's a musician and he's treading on our territory.
So what?
He's funny and he can play music. What the fuck, bro?
You got to give it back now.
Yeah, that's true. That's
why the Carver Kings, right? What's the name?
We thought of the name a long time ago when we were on schoolies. Daniel and I were in Fiji and we were drinking like, I don't know if everyone knows what Carver is. I think most people would know, but it's like a Fijian drink. It's kind of like, it's almost like a tea. It's like a ground up root and we're drinking heaps and heaps of that. Heaps and heaps of it, and
so it's psychedelic.
Way too much. It's mild. Sort of, it's really mild, and it's sort of just like, more like a relaxing sort of drink that you have. It's like a ceremonial thing that you have in Fiji.
And then you're school is the just
guy.
It.
we were drinking probably way too much, and the guy that was dishing it out, the Fijian guy, is like, "You guys are the Carver Kings," and we're like, "Yeah, we're the Carver Kings." And somehow it stuck. I don't know.
So he's probably said that to like 40.
Yeah, like. Just through the
groups
years.
Of dudes. There's probably several.
There's a couple more bands that are coming up,
bands
and they call themselves the Carver Kings as well.
Graffiti crews and like different things. Yeah.
And race car drivers, collectives, all that kind of stuff.
Counter Strike teams, Carver Kings.
Why did you go to Fiji rather than like the classic Gold Coast?
That was just a thing that we did at our school. Yeah, I don't know. Just a couple of schools around the Shire. They all kind of went to this one island.
There was a few incidents.
You know, they didn't.
Them.
Yeah,
the Shire
they didn't
boys,
want to leave the Shire, so they might as well put them all on one island.
That's hilarious. You were just like, we want to be by the beach, and we pretty much want to be in Cronulla, but not in Cronulla.
We just go to Cronulla.
Yeah, dude, that's so funny.
No, it's not.
How many jet skis do you own?
Dude, he lives in Newtown. That's like very fertile ground. You can rip into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, hook in.
Yeah.
I don't have.
He's just pissed off that the jet skis aren't like eco friendly and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Don't run off coconut oil.
Jet skis.
Yeah.
Lentil power. That's all right. I'm scared of jet skis.
He is. He's scared of a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, but it's, jet skis especially.
Yeah, yeah. And people riding them. That's why he has the trepidation towards people from the Shire. I love the Shire, Fair enough. I've been there twice in my life.
No, it's beautiful.
Oh, no. Sorry, three times when I came over to your house.
Yeah, you've been to my place,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
Your place was awesome.
You saw me in my pool.
For context for the people listening, I was luckily chosen by Jack Shepherd, the director extraordinaire, to feature in the Carver Kings film clip, Friends. I think we've covered this before.
Yeah, we definitely need to disclose that you have an existing relationship with the band. We don't want to get that like cash for comment thing happening yet. So
Exactly, full disclosure. Full disclosure, we're already friends. If you can probably hear that friendly repertoire. I mean, that's the wrong word.
And you're in our film clip and the song was called Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Dude, that song was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
thanks
awesome.
So much for being in the film clip.
Not at all, dude. That was such a fun experience. Plus, coming to your album launch.
Oh, yes.
EP launch, sorry.
And you brought your dog with you and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And introduced us on stage with the dog up on stage.
Yeah, because
did it get stage fright?
It was terrified, dude. Like, so I brought Napoleon on stage with me, right? And because you asked me to open for you and I wasn't exactly sure how the whole operation would go. It's not really a classical stand-up spot, you know what I mean? To do at that late at night and everyone's got a little drunk watching the bands and revved up and stuff. And when I was having dinner, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to bring the dog on because they're not going to listen to me, but they'll definitely pay attention
to a dog,
to this beautiful little dog.
So good.
And they did, man. Like I walked downstairs and people were like, oh, the dog is so cute. And I was just holding it and then brought it on stage and so many women were taking photos, but not of me.
Just
of
the dog. You're cut off.
And when I and I had to leave early because the dog was so scared. I was holding it and I felt through its ribs. Its heart was like,
poor doggy.
Poor thing.
But then as I was leaving this really beautiful girl, your fans are gorgeous. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Mm. Yeah, they're unbelievable. And she was like, can I get a photo? And I was like, she wants a photo with me. And she took a selfie and I could see that it was
crop
just
out
her
your
and
head.
The dog.
Yeah, everyone came up to me after and like, whose dog was that?
Man,
why
was
so
is
it on stage?
And smart getting that dog to MC.
That was the
best. All right, look, we gotta do this little ad read now.
Oh, we gotta do an ad.
New sponsor. Yeah.
Sorry, I just explained, Tom. We got we have people sponsoring the podcast, so we gotta.
We gotta pay bills. So I'll do the ad read today, Pat.
You're doing the ad read.
They're beautiful.
All right,
they like my voice the best. They chose me.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Candy mattresses are the sweetest mattresses around. If you've ever dreamed of going to sleep on a bed of fairy floss, then candy mattresses are the night sleep for you. Every candy mattress features patented cloud cell foam technology. That's the good stuff, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Perfectly supports every inch of your body while breathing softly and gently like an autumn zephyr. Candy mattresses come with a 222-day, no questions asked, no hassle given, we still love you guarantee. To get your candy mattress, jump on to candysleep.com and enter the code DIRTY to get 12.22% off your candy mattress.
That's a lot off.
Candy mattresses, the sweetest night's sleep around. Mate, we are making bank.
Yeah, they pay us $12
for that.
We love
candy mattress. I slept on one last night. I went to sleep.
So sexual.
The way you say it.
Yeah. Sometimes I, if I'm trying to get in the mood, I'll call Alfie up.
Do an ad read for me.
And I'll say, yeah, can you do one of those ad reads for me, brother?
Yeah.
And then I'm hard as a diamond and ready to rock and roll.
I reckon I could do pep talks as a service for guys that are like, a bit nervous about, it's the first time I've been with this girl, I'm going to call up the hotline.
G'day.
Can you imagine that running into the bathroom being like, oh, man. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Let's do this live now. All right, you're ringing me up.
Okay, I'm calling you up.
Alfie's love hotline. How can I help?
Hey, it's Pat. Pat Doherty again. Sorry. I call you up pretty much every day, but I'm in the middle of this huge Brazilian orgy with like 45 gorgeous supermodels. So I just need a little pep talk, just get me going, if that's all right. So the Brazilian supermodels, there's 45 of them. What do you got for me?
Look, Pat, you're a stallion. You're a dreamboat. Don't even worry about it. What I want you to do is I want you to strut in there and I want you to grab one and say, my name's Pat and I'm not here to chat.
Keep just a little longer. Just talk a little longer. Oh, I'm finished. Oh, Alfie, what the? I have 45 in there, man. I'm done now.
No refunds. Thank you for calling Alfie's Love Hotline. That was really good. I could do that.
Yeah, I think. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think you could probably do that
now,
as well.
A topic we wanted to cover, Tom, you know, obviously you've been following this. You're in the music industry, but Nolsey.
Oh, yeah, Nolsey, that was great.
The spray.
Yeah.
The spray.
What's your take on that?
That was the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Have you ever had things thrown at your head?
Yeah, I think so. I would have.
You ever had a scum?
I can't remember it because it, yeah.
I saw The Living End play once at a festival, and I can't remember the lead singer's name, but he got smacked fair on the head by like a water bottle.
He just
rolled his neck and went, good shot. And kept playing.
Oh, that was...
Because he knew that like reacting like Nolsey is a bad idea and just encourages people.
To be honest with you, I didn't even know Nolsey did like regular gigs, so now I'm more aware.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's doing the picnic races circuit, apparently.
Yeah.
So what we've done,
hopefully,
Tom,
that's
is...
not an all-ages thing.
Look, we...
Yeah.
The thing, like, there was a couple of things. I think when he talked about the sister and the mother, he took it a bit far, you know. I think maybe that was a bit inappropriate. But so what we've done, though, Tom, is... Yeah. We've written some sprays, right? Mm. So Pat and I have both written a spray each. And we want you to judge.
Which spray is the best spray.
Yeah. So we're going to pretend that we've just had something thrown at our head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like maybe you've called in sick and you can't front the Carver King, so you've got one of us to cover you. You know what I mean? We've just about to get into friends and then somebody throws a Bundy rum can. Just hits me directly in my beautiful blue. And then I hit them with this spray. And then we'll do the same thing with Alfie.
Who would you like to hear from first, Tom?
Yeah.
Who's spray first?
You want to go with sexy voice first?
Okay.
All right. You hit it up.
Oi, you throw a can at me? You're no good, Nick. You're low, mate. You're lower than the volume on a pair of Jetstar earbuds. I'm gonna come round to your house and put extra lint in your dryer. That's right, your house is going to burn down from an easily preventable lint dryer fire. You're a slug, mate, a no-good slug. You couldn't even afford a shell to make you a snail. I've come here to the picnic races to see which picnic is the fastest, not to have cans of vodka cruiser dressed up in man branding pelted at me noggin. You bloody cockroach.
Out of 10, what do you reckon?
I'd give that a 9 out of 10.
Oh, bullshit, mate. That was a 5.
So do you reckon the crowd...
When you said the Jetstar headphones thing, that was like...
That's the one that got you?
He was
running that on me before, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, I guess. Whatever.
Do you reckon the crowd would be on my... Because that's what the true judge of this would be, if more cans get pelted as you're doing
100%.
That. Yeah. If the crowd's like, yeah, we're on his side, no more cans. All right,
there
Pat.
All right,
cans.
I got my one. So I forgot that nobody throws a can at me. Someone throws an aeroplane at me, like a paper aeroplane.
Okay,
here we go. All right. Oi, who threw this paper aeroplane at me, huh? How dare you throw a piece of paper that's been so well crafted, you dog? The artistry of this fine parchment plane is outstanding, and you should, in my humble opinion, be kept... I mean, and hang on a second. And
sorry.
It should be...
you
can I take
suck,
it from the top?
You suck.
Oh, no, they're turning on me. Oi, I'm going to start again. It just happened again. Oi, who threw this paper aeroplane at me, huh? How dare you throw a piece of paper that's been so well crafted, you dog? The artistry of this fine parchment plane is outstanding and should, in my humble opinion, be kept at our national archives. But here you are, you fucking hero, throwing this beautiful Australian origami at me. I came fourth in the 5th season of Australian Idol. I'm a god among musicians. Daniel Johns named his third child after me. Whoever threw that paper aeroplane at me will die 1,000 deaths. Ah! Bring his head to me.
Okay, right.
Whoa. More aggressive.
Okay, that was aggressive. I'm going to give that a 9.5.
Yes, I win. Take that.
When you stuffed up, that's when you should have pulled the dog out and just figured everyone would have just melted.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that if somebody threw the paper aeroplane at me, they don't really, like, no one really cares. But if that paper aeroplane hit Napoleon.
The crowd would have turned.
You would have been in trouble.
The crowd would have turned.
So I want to delve in. So you don't remember if anybody's ever thrown anything at you?
No, I can't. Well, I've definitely been hit in the face with a microphone before, like
on your
more
own,
than once.
On your own doing?
Like, because people have like been jumping on and off the stage and then they run into the mic and then you're singing, it just goes bang.
Oh, dude, right into the teeth.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
Yeah,
you just like, let it happen.
You got to hold the microphone.
Yeah,
in your
you kind of
like
sing and then you're like, jumping back like, oh, fuck, it's going to happen again.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I've done that to myself. I was emceeing this terrible, terrible open mic. I won't mention its name, but the thing with the stand was really sticky to the microphone.
Gross.
And which is a terrible sight. And yeah, but as I'm trying to pull it out like that, which is just a standard issue sort of move, you know what I mean? Mm. I pulled it out and it just went like straight into my teeth. And the worst thing is that I did that 3 times over the course of the night. That's why my teeth are all messed up now.
It says here in my notes that our producer prepared, Estelle, our producer. So your latest album was worked on by some pretty decent names. Is this true?
Yeah, Joel Quatermain from Eskimo Joe has been working on our most recent songs.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, it's Willie, been really
William,
cool.
William Willie Bowden.
Yeah, yeah. Also. And he also mastered.
He's mastered a Grammy Award-winning song.
Yeah,
from according to my notes. So he did Gautier's "Somebody That I Used to Know." Never heard of it myself. Don't remember that song at all. Being on every radio station 5 times a day.
It's crazy.
How did you get in touch with those guys?
Joel actually produced a band called Caravan of Sun, who's really close to us. They the lead singer lives down the road from us. He did their like last album, and then we just thought like we're kind of close with the Cara boys, and we're like, oh, get us onto Joel, and you know, he sort of just went through there, and now Joel's like one of our best mates. He's such a legendary guy. Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Oh, that's so nice when somebody is so established and is also a nice person.
Yeah, yeah, he's such a lord.
Yeah,
and it's funny actually. Yesterday we found out not these songs that we've been doing with Joel, but in our last album, it's just been announced that Tiger Air is going to be playing one of our songs when you board and depart on the airplane. So we won this competition and. Yeah, it's really exciting. It's pretty crazy to happen to us as well. That's so, amazing. Yeah.
So on those rare occasions, people actually board the plane.
The Tiger Air plane. Yeah. Everyone's sweating.
Yeah. And if you want us to stop mentioning you like that, Tiger, you better pay up your sponsorship bills. You're overdue.
They're going to give you an ad to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually brilliant because your music's like very relaxing most of the time, the songs that I've listened to, you know what I mean? So like after you've just been absolutely infuriated by Tiger Air, you walk off and you listen to your music and you're like,
No comment.
Oh yeah, you're associated with it now. Can't just rag on them. Thank you. We can do it for you.
Nah,
he's written... Yeah. What is he written there? Yeah. Fuck Tiger Airways.
Holding it up, baby.
That's awesome, dude. That's very cool.
Who should what we be? Saying? Who other than you guys? Who should we be checking out on the Sydney scene? Who's in the music scene? Who's crushing it?
So some guys that I went to uni with, Doko. They're a really cool band from sort of all around Sydney. It's like a trombone player and
it's
really
not Scar, is it?
No, all it's right. Oh, it has like it's not. No, it's not Scar.
It has Scar.
We don't know. It has. It's no kind of like the Police. Okay. More like the Police kind of vibe. Right. Yeah, it's really really cool band.
What music is Scar? Sorry,
It's like really up fast reggae.
Is it really?
Yeah. It crops up every now and then. It never dies, but it crops up. It's like a yeast infection. It's a cat.
I'll take your word on that. Alfie knows yeast infections intimately.
Yeah, I forget how much I hate it, and then I accidentally end up at a Scar gig, and then it's oh boy,
and then comes back again.
Your week's ruined. Who else is good?
Oh, who else? Definitely check out my girlfriend Lola Scott. Yeah, she's just brought out a new single a couple of months ago called Hush. All the songs that she writes are about me, so you can get a good history on the relationship.
Oh, no. That's hilarious.
She's Taylor Swift and new boy.
Yeah, no, check her out. who else? Like I was talking about Caravan of Sun, they're a really cool band as well.
Yeah.
We just saw them play when we were in Europe at Madness Festival in the Netherlands, and they were incredible.
That's awesome. Do you have rivalries between like certain regions of Sydney? Like bands from the south, do you guys hate Northern Beaches bands? That kind of thing?
I don't think we hate each other. I think we just like never see each other. Because we're on opposite ends and we're like, people in the south play at Brass Monkey and people in the north play at like Moonshine Bar and stuff like that.
How good is Moonshine?
Yeah, it's the best. Yeah.
It's awesome, dude.
We play there too, but yeah.
Yeah, you're just stepping on their toes up there.
What we want to know, Tom, though, is what's the worst gig you've ever done? Do you want to dish with us?
Do you want us to say some of ours maybe?
And then, you start.
Okay, you hit it off, Alf.
Oh, Rudy Hill, RSL, done. Okay.
Really?
What happened? Oh, that's probably... that's one of the worst I've done, Rudy Hill, RSL.
Really?
Yeah. In terms of, like, obviously the worst gigs are when there's no one there. Like, we've all done, like, open mics or something when there's two people there, and that's shit.
Yeah.
But, oh, well, that's life. But, yeah, Rudy Hill, there was a reasonable number of people there, but they were so spread out, and the energy was so weird, and Thirsty Merc was so loud in the next auditorium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're always there. Thirsty Merc is always... Like, why are they always
there?
They're
in all of your
gigs. Yeah.
Because what, like... So, you only have the losers, right, in that crowd, because anyone cool is at the Thirsty Merc gig.
Oh,
so
man.
What's left in your crowd is the losers. Yeah, so backstage, you can't even hear the other act, so you don't even know what's going on because Thirsty Merc is so loud in the next room.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, that's that. I would describe that as my worst gig. What about you?
Could you hear it on while you're on stage?
No, I think that was fine.
Yeah.
But it was just not a huge number of people, but spread out over like... It was like a 700-seat space with 70 people in it. And spread out at like large round tables, which is not what you want for comedy.
Man.
So like any laughs you did get were like sporadic and from like one table and the crowd.
And
just
then it just sort of echoed into an abyss.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Some people did better than that. It's like Steph did great. Steph Broadbridge, great friend of the podcast. She did great because she like shut down this dude who was being annoying.
Yeah.
And the crowd loved that.
Oh, man. Good.
But,
destroying of a heckler.
But yeah, no one came out of the gig being like, "Woo, that was amazing."
That's funny.
Yeah.
Dude, I reckon the two worst gigs that come to my mind straight away both involve this guy called Brad Austin, who I think is awesome and I love him. He's a comedian, he's very funny. The first one was he used to run a gig out at Camden, and it was pretty much like in the car park of the Camden Hotel.
Nice.
And I was just early on in comedy, so like I was confident and I had good gigs. I was confident, borderline cocky, and then went on stage and just fucking ate shit in front of like 80 people from Camden, and then the worst part was I was so cocky with this comedian called Matt Reddy driving out there for like an hour and a half, and then I had to sit in the car post bomb with Matt Reddy after he crushed, and then just drive home and be like, yeah, I don't know what happened. And then the other one was at Hemingway's. This is when Hemingway's, the comedy club that I run over in Manly. It was probably like 6 months after that, I guess. And like just comedians that I really like and respect were on the bill. And so it was John Cruikshank, Nick Capper, Rory Lowe, and Brad Austin again.
Yeah.
And I went on before Brad, just like 5 minutes after John Cruikshank opened the show, and just ate the biggest dick of all time. Like it was just silence, you know what I mean? And I remember seeing John Cruikshank at the back of the room just being like, maybe. And then that was definitely the worst. Those two are the worst ones ever.
Oh, but I haven't seen you do bad like that in a long time.
You weren't even there to see. You've never seen me do bad. What are you talking about? Because I crushed.
Yeah, that's right. But musically, what's the like worst gig? Like, what makes it? What's a bad gig?
Yeah, what's a bad gig?
No, I can totally relate to you guys, like having those kinds of gigs and just going home like, oh fuck. Did that really just happen?
Oh, yeah.
But one of the worst ones I've done is it was actually a couple of weeks ago in Italy. We played right on a highway, like literally this. It was just out the front of this pub, oh, and it was on the highway, like in the car park. and we got to the gig, and like they didn't have any of their equipment, like really together, and we had to kind of make do, and there was no mic stand, so I used like a broomstick.
Oh my god,
my brother had to hang like the mic from like kind of the ceiling. He kind of wrapped it on like a pole and just like hung it down and like sticky. It was really makeshift, and yeah, we somehow made it work, but it was just like why are we even like, should we just
was
not
there
play
a crowd or?
No, there was like no one there as well.
Oh dude.
And the trucks are going past, it was like, fuck, this sucks.
Man, you always put, as a comedian, you always put musicians on a pedestal and you just figure that you never have bad gigs, but obviously, like, there are situations sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, heaps of. Yeah, heaps.
I reckon the equivalent of a bombing comedy to a musician is like those pub musicians that you see, just like one dude playing guitar and it's just everybody's just talking at the front. Is that a frustrating thing for a musician?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. When you don't feel like you're being heard, it's. Yeah, it happens all the time, though.
Suppose you got to pay your rent, don't you?
Yeah.
Take those gigs regardless.
How was Europe? How was the tour? Any sick stories?
Yeah. Oh, what happened?
Well,
oh.
Should we just, to the listeners at home, so you've just come back, Carver Kings have just come, or you've just come back from Europe.
Yeah.
Your brother's still overseas at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone else back now?
Yeah, everyone else is back now. Yeah. So we played in the Netherlands, Germany, France, Switzerland, and Italy mm-hmm. on a highway. And it was an amazing tour, but we got this, there was one thing that did happen that was really dodgy. We ended up getting we got a hire van with all of our gear in it. And we were driving through Switzerland and I really had to go to the bathroom. So I was like, oh, I'll pull over it in this car park. And like, I went to park in this spot and I wasn't used to the van and it was really tight. So as I pulled in, I like love tapped someone's car and I was like, oh, it was just a touch, like literally nothing. And I was like, oh, there was a lady in the car. I'm like, sorry. And then I backed out and everyone was just like, let's just go. Like, this is really awkward. Like the stuff, this anyway, go up to the end of the car park. It's a dead end. So I turned around and then there's this guy chasing us. He's like, stop. And I was like, oh, what do I do? And everyone's like,
oh my God.
Just drive. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just accelerated, started driving.
And then you ran into him and killed him. Yeah,
No, actually, there was a car like blocking the exit, waiting to pull out onto the highway. So I got trapped in the car park, basically. And then this guy just came up and grabbed our like side view mirrors and tried to rip them off. And he was really, really angry. And I was like, stop. And like I locked all the doors and he was like kicking our door in and everything.
Jesus.
And my brother got out and he's like, stop. And he dented the door. And then the guy just pulled a knife out and he's like,
whoa.
I'll slice you. And we're like, oh my God. We just jumped in the car and then he grabbed the rear windscreen wiper and like ripped it out and we're just like,
well, that's intense.
Oh, it was so shit. Anyway, because it was like 250 euros per damage on our van, I was like, let's just drive. Let's not like try and get his details. We just bailed.
Oh,
how crazy is that, eh?
That's insane.
It was just psycho.
Whereabouts was this, sorry?
In Switzerland.
Yeah, Swiss. Dude, yeah, he had a Swiss pocket knife. Just fucking
yeah, Swiss Army knife. Oh, that's so bad. Someone said that.
And on that, that's about all we have time for.
Is that all the time?
Yeah, that's
the
time.
Oh, man,
it's whizzed
past, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good
one. Oh, my God, that
Thanks
is half
so
an hour
having
already.
Us.
No worries, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been Dirty Thunder Radio Club. We've been joined by Tom Smithson from the Carver Kings. We might even chuck a song at the end.
Yeah, can we put one of your songs at the end?
Yeah, what would you like us to put?
Which one would you want to put on?
I want to play Friends.
Friends.
The one that you're on.
Yeah,
What are Friends?
Alfie doesn't know it. But do you have any gigs or anything coming up?
Yeah, what would you like to plug?
What have we got coming up? Let me think.
Not much, it sounds
not much,
like.
Really, because my brother's away for a whole month.
Oh, yeah,
so
the band's away.
Yeah,
that's all right. Look,
but
let us know.
We're playing at Caloundra Fest, which is coming up in September.
Like them on Facebook and stuff. Check them out at Caloundra Fest.
Yeah.
The Carver Kings. They're a good band.
Yeah, of course.
To play us out.
You've
got the song Friends.
Absolutely. Come again, Tommy. We'll see you soon. Thank you, my man.
Dirty Thunder Club out.
And I said, when I go, I'll be thinking of you.